Good morning, Life Point Church. Hope everyone is doing well. Before we get started, I want to give a huge shout out to Olivia. So thank you so much for being here. Give it up again for her. What you don't know is that as of yesterday at about, 2 o'clock, we were still trying to find someone to lead worship. she flew in from Minnesota, was coming back into Kentucky late last night and flew into Louisville. So it worked out perfect. And she's been traveling and doing a lot. So she's exhausted, but she's here with us. So thank you for being here. That was great. And as many of you know or may not know, the reason that we needed someone is because Jared and Hillary had their baby. So Owen is here, healthy, and doing great. Mom's doing great. So it's definitely a great time at Life Point Church. It's a, you know, we're growing the church one way or the other, whether it be, no, I'm just kidding. We are going to church. But man, thank you all so much for being here with us. And today what we're doing is we're wrapping up our current series. So we've done this, this is the fourth week in a series called Why Pray. And if you've been here, if you haven't, what we've been doing in this series is that we're looking at four very specific prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed for the early church. And we're kind of breaking those things down. And what we do in these prayers is we see the reasons why we should pray. As Christ followers, we know, and even some that aren't Christ followers, we know that there's plenty of reasons to actually pray, right? To reach out to God, to connect and commune with Him. But we see very specific reasons in Scripture. When we look at Paul's prayers, we see that many times when he prayed for the church, there was a pattern to it, right? We see that he would pray a very, very specific prayer. He would follow it up with, so that, and then he would give the reason why he was praying, right? So for example, in week one, we learned to pray for power, right? That we all, as Christ followers, need to be praying for power so that Christ may dwell within us, that we are operating every single moment of every day with the power of Christ living in us and through that. In week two, we talked about that we need to commit to pray, to be active in sharing our faith, right? Every single one of us are called to reach out. If you are a follower of Jesus, your mission is to take his truth, his love to everyone around you. And so we need to be praying so that we would be active in our faith so that we could have a full understanding of everything good that we have and that we can continue to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Last week, we talked about something that is very, very heavy on my heart right now, and that's that we need to be praying for unity in the body of Christ, right? We need to pray for unity in the church. You know, without unity, it's really difficult for us to actually reach those who don't know Christ. And Scripture tells us that they will know we are the disciples of Jesus by how we love one another. And so we need to be praying for unity so that with one mind and one voice, we can glorify God and reach our city and beyond, to reach Louisville. And today, as we wrap up and close up out this series, we're going to be looking at one of Paul's letters to the church at Philippi. And what we see is that for them, he prays that they would know what's best. Now, how many of you would say that maybe even right now in your life, that you're facing some type of important decision, or there's something that is coming up that you gotta say, okay, I'm gonna either go this direction or this direction, or there's something relationally that you're kind of wrestling with and working through, and you really just need to know what's best. How many of you are kind of facing that? Right. Because in reality, we all face those things every second of every day. We're always making decisions. Maybe for you, you just, you know, being in late June, getting ready to be July, maybe you just graduated high school and you're trying to decide which college, which university you're going to go to, or if even that's the right track for you. Maybe you just graduated college and you're trying to say, okay, what's my next step in my journey? What is my calling? What do I need to do? Yeah, I got this degree, but do I follow that or do I just do something different? You've got big decisions to make. Maybe there's a purchase that's coming up that you're like, man, do I need to buy this house or should I buy this car or not? Should I make this investment? We're always faced with decisions. It could be simple decisions too. Simple decisions a lot of times have big consequences, like, hey, should I post this on social media or not? Some people really need to take a little more time on that decision. Or should I respond to this post? This is the reason I'm not on Facebook anymore, because I couldn't make that right decision, so I just cut it off. I couldn't make the right decision. But many times in life, it would benefit us to stop, slow down, and really understand what's best. What is the best decision to make? And this is at the heart and the center of Paul's prayer to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 1. But before we get into that, just a little bit of context of this letter that he wrote to this church is that he wrote about one-third of the New Testament. And he's many, many letters he wrote to the church that we get tons of wisdom straight from God through those letters. But in this particular one, and he wrote this from prison, right? From a Roman prison. And he didn't really know what was next for him. He didn't know, I mean, at any moment he could have been executed, right? Done, finished, dirt nap time. And so he didn't know what was next. And so as he's writing these words to this church, he's writing them as if this is the last time he's gonna communicate with them. And again, we've said this before, that if you knew that this was your final conversation with someone or your final letter to someone, what you wrote would be of the utmost importance, right? You would make sure that you were dropping just as much knowledge on them as you could for whatever their circumstance and situation was. And this is exactly what he was doing to this church. And he loved them. He loved them dearly. In verse 3, it says, every time I think of you, I give thanks to God. And that's how much he loved them. So this is the context in which he wrote this. So let's go ahead and check it out. Philippians chapter 1, and we're just going to read verses 9 and 10. And Paul says this. He says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. He prayed that they would abound in love more and more so that they could discern, or that they could know what's best. Now, as we kind of begin to look a little deeper into this prayer and break it down a bit, the first thing we need to look at is, he says, I pray that your love would abound more and more. So we need to understand what type of love he's talking about here. Because there are all different types of love, right? I mean, and we love differently, because love has a variety of emotions and feelings. So for example, I mean, we love our parents. We love our kids most of the time. We love our friends. We love our church family here at Life Point Church. We love our spouse. We love Starbucks, or at least I do. We love the Boston Red Sox, right? Who are playing right now. Maybe? No? Okay. I do. But we love all these different things. But the type of love is different. The way I love my spouse is different than the way I love Starbucks. It's close. But it's different. And so when we look at this, we see that Paul is talking about an agape type of love. It's an agape love. Basically, it's a love that's unconditional, and it's straight from the heart of God. That's the kind of love that he's talking about. It's a love that speaks over us, not necessarily what we want, but what we need in any and all situations. Regardless of what we've done, regardless of how we treat, so it's an agape love. It's unconditional. It's pure. It's beautiful. And Paul says, I pray that this kind of love, this unconditional, pure agape love, would grow more and more in you, in both knowledge and depth of insight. He's basically saying that I pray that this love would come in and radically transform you from the inside out. Because you see, when that happens, when you encounter this type of love, like truly encounter it, not have like just a head knowledge of it, but of a heart knowledge of this agape love of God, man, it changes everything. It is an absolute game changer, and it transforms you. The way you think, the way you act, the way you treat other people, it all changes. I think of it's seriously, it's like the love that a parent has when they have a child. Like if you have a child, you understand that description. I mean, it's something so incredible. You look at this beautiful child and they're perfect. Even if they're not, to you, they're perfect. And it doesn't matter what they do, because babies do a lot of weird and gross things. And it doesn't matter, because they're beautiful and they're ours. That's why there's no ugly babies, right? At least to the parents. It's this pure, unconditional love. And for that parent, as soon as they see that child, they're changed forever. It changes the way they think, what's important to them, their motives, their actions. It's the same way when if you've never been in love and you finally find the love of your life, you find that one person, it changes you. Because love is a powerful thing, and even more so, the agape love of God, it's unconditional. And it begins to transform you from the inside out, and you're never the same. And so Paul says, he's praying that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. So as the love of God begins to change you, and it increases and it builds and it abounds more and more and more and it grows, you begin to understand a little more clearly what's best. Not necessarily what you want, but what's best. And there's a big, big difference there. You see, when that situation occurs, when people look at certain situations, they kind of look at them hopeless, right? Gloom and doom. There's nothing's going to work out here. But when Christ begins to change you from the inside out with that love, you start to see God at work. You're able to take a breath and say, okay, this doesn't seem great right now, but God's in control of all things. And he's going to work this out one way or another. And I trust him. You'll know what's best as it grows more and more within you. And so based on Paul's letter, we know that we have to begin to let the love of God transform us if we're going to know what's best. We can read that, right? So we have that head knowledge of that. But when you break it down, we really have to step back and ask, well, how do we actually know what's best, right? Okay, we know God, all that, but how do we know what's actually best? Maybe, you're facing that big, difficult decision in life. You're facing it, and you really need to know what that best decision is. So what do you do? Well, if you're in that situation, our key thought for today, and it's really simple, yet pretty complex, it's the key to knowing what's best is knowing God. Right? It's that simple. If you want to know what's best in your life, what's the best decision to make, you have to center everything around Christ. The key to knowing what's best is truly knowing God. So then the next answer to that, or the next question based off that is, then how do you know God, right? And that's honestly the reason why many of us, if not all of us, are here in this building. See, every single one of us, regardless of whether you've been a Christ follower for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, or this is the first time you've ever stepped foot into a church, we're all on a journey of knowing God. Maybe it's to know God for the very first time, or maybe it's to know God more and more, for that love to abound more and more in your heart and in your life. We're all on this journey of knowing God. And if we want to know what's best, we have to continue that journey to know God. So, how do we know God? Well, there's a plethora of ways that we can know God. And that's because God reveals himself to us in so many different ways. Because he's omnipotent, right? He's omnipresent. He's the creator and sustainer of everything. Therefore, the way we encounter and receive and find his love and the ways that we know him are limitless. And then that's how incredible he is. He comes to know you and he gives his love to you and he equips and empowers you in the way that he has wired you. Because we're all unique and we're all different. So the way that you know God may be different than the way someone else does, just because of the way he's speaking and communicating with you. But there are a few very core principles and some core ways in which we can know God. And so for the rest of our time this morning, that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on three different ways that we can seek and know God better so that we can know what's best when we're faced with those decisions. Or just as we navigate life, we can know what's best. And so the first thing that I want to show you through scripture is that when we're seeking to know God better and to know him, period, we have to begin to seek godly advice. Right? If you want to know what's best, sometimes you have to get outside of yourself and seek godly advice. I don't know if you've ever encountered those situations. I personally, you all know me, I share this quite a bit. I like to kind of do my own thing. I'm a perfectionist. I think my way is always perfect. Those that are on our team encounter that in sometimes not so great way. But I understand that about myself, and it's something that I work on. And I know that if I'm going to make the best decisions and I'm truly going to know what's best, sometimes I have to drop my pride and I need to go talk to somebody else and say, hey, here's the situation. What do you think? What do you think is best? You go to those people in your life that you know have a good relationship with Christ and that they want what's best for you and they love you and they care about you. You seek that godly advice in your life. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 teaches us this principle. It says that plans go wrong, or another version says that plans fail for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. I mean, it's pretty simple. If you want to know what's best, make sure that you have a good group, core group of people surrounding you that will give you good, solid, godly advice. You need that. I don't care how great you are, how smart you are, how great of decisions you've made in the past, you need godly people surrounding you in your inner circle that'll speak life into you. And again, not always going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. I've got a few people in my life that really like to tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. My wife being one of them. She's a pro at that. She did it just yesterday. It seems harsh sometimes, but it's exactly what I need to hear. Not what I want, what I need. I think about one of my mentors in ministry, Brian, who was here a month or two ago and preached for us. When I go and approach him, he's like brilliant at asking questions instead of telling me what to do. I'll say, hey, here's what I'm thinking about. What do you think's best? And he'll be just like, let me ask you a question. Then he just starts asking questions, and then it just works. But you have to seek godly advice. You have to have those people in your life if you truly want to know what's best. Because the beautiful thing about God is that yes, he speaks to us, and yes, he reveals things to us, but he also loves to use his children, his people, to help each other. Because we're a family. We need to be unified like we talked about last week. The body of Christ is made up of all kinds of different skill sets and abilities. And, you know, it's the body. Some are the hands, some are the feet, some are the knees. And we all work together. So in order to work together, we got to communicate with each other. We got to give each other advice. So if we want to know what's best in our lives, we have to seek godly advice. That's how we're going to know God more. That's how we're going to know what's best. The second thing, the second way that we can continue to seek God in knowing what's best is really what this whole series is about, right? Is spending time in prayer. If you want to know what's best, if you want to know God more, you got to spend time communicating with him. You have to spend time in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 tells us this. It says, don't worry, or another version says, don't be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. Don't be anxious about anything. I don't know that I go a single day without having a conversation with someone that talks about how they're anxious, how they're on edge. Our culture today is an anxiety-ridden group of humans. Every single one of us. I would venture to say that probably 80% of the people in here right now have worried about something in the past 24 hours. Yet very clearly we see here, don't be worried. Don't worry or be anxious about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Those things that you want to know what's best, those decisions, those big decisions in your life, we tend to just stress about them, worry about them. Then we typically spiral. And it doesn't do good for anybody. Not for us, not for the people around us, or in making a good decision, in knowing what's best. It's actually the exact opposite. So if we want to know what's best, don't be anxious. Spend time in prayer. Take it to God. And many times, we're good at components of prayer as followers of Christ. We're good about talking to God. Some of us are really good at praising God in our prayer throughout the day, taking our needs to him, sharing our concerns, thanking him for our blessings, the things that he's given us. We're typically good at those things. But not very many of us are good at actually shutting up for a moment and actually listening to God, which is a huge piece of prayer. If prayer is truly communicating with God, any healthy communication is two ways. If we have a good relationship with someone and all we ever do is talk, and then they want to say something, we're like, okay, cool, see you, man, thanks for the time, and then we roll out, that's not a very healthy relationship. It's probably not going to be a relationship for very long. It's not going to grow in any way, shape, or form. So if you want to know God, if you want to know what's best, we need to take our worries and our cares to him. We need to thank him. We need to praise him, but we also need to listen to what it is that he has to say. It's speaking to God, listening to God. John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Do you know his voice? Do you listen to him? Or do you just ramble on and on and on and on all day long? You want to know what's best, we have to listen to him. We got to quiet down. We got to quiet all the noise around us. We take something to him, then we listen. And I promise you, he's going to speak. Now, I've never heard the audible voice of God. I don't know what I would do if I did. I'd probably freak out a bit. But I can tell you, when I quiet down and I'm in tune and connected to the Father, man, I hear his voice internally so loud that I know it's him. And I can't do anything but do exactly what it is that he said. The few times that has been the strongest and most powerful in my life have been the biggest decisions that I've ever made. And they were typically a week or two before. Like every single time. And it all had to do with what led me to here. After I graduated from Bible college and I kind of bailed on any type of ministry work and just said, I'm going to just love God and the church can go do its thing because I had so many bad experiences. I spent about a year and a half, 2 years out of church. And then one day I was driving and God said, you need to get back into ministry. You need to plug into a church and serve in a youth ministry somewhere. Told that to Jen. Like a day or two later, I got a random phone call from a random person that was mutual friends of someone else that was looking for a job at the company I worked for. And in that conversation, he said, "Hey, what's your degree in?" And I told him biblical studies. I majored in youth ministry. He's like, "Oh, cool. My church is looking for a youth pastor." It was Life Point Church. God had spoke to me because I quieted down and I listened. He will speak, but we have to be willing to listen. We've got to be willing to hear his voice. So when you have those major decisions in life, take it to him. Don't stress and worry about it, but take it to him and then be quiet. Listen for his leading. Listen for his direction. He will tell you and give you what's best. And again, it may not be what you want, because he loves you that much. He's going to tell you what you need. So if you want to know God more so that you can know what's best, we have to spend time in prayer. And finally, the third thing is that we need, in order to seek to know what's best through knowing God, is simply we need to spend time in his word. We have to spend time in God's word. I like to say we need to spend time ingesting his word. Whether you like to read or you don't like to read, it's 2019. I mean, you can get an app on your phone and it'll read it to you. Just ingest his word. Listen to it. Read it. Have conversations about it. Because God not only speaks to us internally, but he speaks to us through his word all the time. Psalms 119, verse 105. I love this description. I use this verse all the time. I know. But it makes things so perfectly clear for me. It says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light unto my path." That's what God's word is for us. Just think about being in a pitch black dark room and you're gonna have to walk. You don't know what's next. You don't know what's right in front of you. You don't know what's best. But if you have a light, a lamp, a flashlight, it's not gonna show you what's at the back of the room, but it's gonna show you your next step. And you're gonna know which step is best, whether it's here or here, because God's word is right there. That lamp is right there. Same thing in life with God's word. If you wanna know what's best, spend time in it. It's our roadmap for life. It's a guide that's gonna keep us from tripping up. And when we do trip up, not if, when we do trip up, it's gonna be that thing that's gonna course correct. It's like the GPS or Siri, you know, recalculating. God's gonna use his word to recalculate for us. His word is a lamp to guide our feet, a light into our path. You see, when you need to know what's best, you got that big decision coming up. You can seek godly advice. They're gonna drop some knowledge on you. You can take it to God in prayer and he's gonna speak to you. But if you don't get it at that point, get in his word, then he's gonna reveal it to you. I mean, how many of you all have ever experienced where you've read scripture or you've heard a verse read and you're like, man, that's as if that was like written for me in this very moment. Like, how many of y'all have experienced that? Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. Because God uses his word. And it is directly for you. It's directly for that moment. His word is living, it's powerful. We take it for granted. We have to stop. If we want to know God, like truly know him, and we want to know what's best, we've got to ingest his word. That's what it's for. It's a gift. He gave it to us. So let's use it. So how do you know God? Truly know him. Seek godly advice. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in his word. He will speak to you through those things. And you will know exactly what's best. Let his love begin to grow within you, abound more and more. He'll change you from the inside out. The way you think, the way you act will be different. You'll understand what you need, not necessarily what you want. And as a result, you'll know what's best. He'll transform you. LifePoint Church, may we truly, truly be a church that prays. It's the reason that we went into this four-week series, because I personally feel as if we need to increase our prayer as a church. We need to be a church of prayer and not meaningless, routine, rote prayers to check it off our good Christian list, or because Andy said, hey, he did a series on prayer, so I better pray. No, we need to pray big, bold, specific prayers. We've got to be a church of prayer. We've got to pray for power. It's God's power to work in and through us. We need to be praying for ourselves as well as the others in our lives that are Christ followers, that they would be active in sharing their faith. Because if we're not active in sharing our faith, what are we doing? What are we doing as a church? Not just as LifePoint Church, but as a global church. If we're not active in sharing and living out our faith, what's the point? We've got to be in prayer that we would do that. We've got to pray for unity. Man, 2019, we are the most divided country, people, period. And the church is no different. Bickering and arguing over stupid stuff that's driving people away from God. We have to be unified to glorify God so that people will know who we are and whose we are. And we desperately need to pray that the love of God would abound in us more and more in knowledge and insight so that we can know what's best, so that we can make good decisions, so that we can follow him, so that we can serve him, so that we can love others. And we've got to be a church of prayer. So I commit as your pastor to lead us in that. Will you be bold enough to follow? To truly be a person, a family, a church body of prayer? Man, I challenge you with that. I encourage you with that. I promise you your life will never be the same if you truly dive in. It's a good, healthy communication with God. Both talking, speaking, worshiping, praising, and listening to what it is that he has to say. Let's be a church and a group of individuals that are prayer warriors. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you so much for the fact that you loved us enough to send us Jesus. Send your son to die and raise again for us. To take our penalty. To take on what we deserved. God, I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we have the privilege to speak directly to you. Jesus, that we can come to you with our needs, with our hurt, with our brokenness, and lay it at your feet. That we can worship you and praise you for how good you are. And that we can also be in such close communication with you that we can just quiet down and listen to what you have to say. God, may we be people of prayer, to not take it for granted, to seek your face, to pray without ceasing. God, may we be those people. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you've never stepped over that line of faith. You're here just kind of checking things out, or you've been kind of keeping God at arm's distance for a long time, for whatever reason. But maybe today's that day that you just lay down your life. Say, Jesus, it's yours. Give him your heart. Give him your everything. Scripture says that in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. It's about confessing and believing. It's not about works. It's not about being good enough. It's not about being perfect. It's about saying, God, thank you for giving us your son, for taking on my sin and shame. I believe you are who you say you are. I confess that I have flaws, and I just lay it down at your feet. You just confess and believe. So if that's you this morning, you just pray out to God. You speak to him however he leads you. Through confessing and believing, you are made whole, a new creation, connected to him for all eternity. If you have questions about that, I'd be more than happy to talk with you after the service. But if you're ready to up in or improve, you just do business with him. Maybe, I love how God works, the fact that maybe what he's speaking to you right now has nothing to do with anything that I said up here. And that's incredible. That's beautiful. So whatever it is that God is speaking to you in this moment, while the music plays, you just spend time with God. You do business with him, praise him. Maybe you just need to sit there quietly and say, God, speak. I want to hear your voice. I want to know what's best. But whatever it is, you just spend time with God.